Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of I'm Caroline Casey. So, may those of us in agony and grief conjure backstage atmospheric support for those who are. So, perfectly, we re-welcome
Dennis in Yosemite, Ron Kauk,
and the Taoist Rainbringer. We'll remind everyone who that is. Legendary rock climber and mentor youth back to his website is Sacred Rock, aka.
Okay, we try again. Here we are. Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So let us all say, you know, may those of us not under immediate pressure of violence, agony, and grief conjure backstage atmospheric support for those who are. So more than perfectly, right, we re-host denizen of Yosemite, Ron Kauk, born on the autumnal equinox as an agent of equilibrium, and the Taoist Rainbringer, who comes into a harmonious equilibrium accord in order to cool out the community. He's a legendary climber
with nature, education, nature's way. His website is sacredrock, R-O-K, .org. Sacred Rock has led trips to Yosemite and in the Eastern Sierra for more than 600 underserved young people to experience the healing ceremony of nature. You can find out more at the website.
So welcome. Welcome, Ron.
Hello, Caroline. It's always good to come back into your ceremony. Can you hear me? Is this working?
Yep. That's good. All right. Knock on wood. Everything's going. Knock on wood to call the tree spirits. So we were talking back,
way down to the occasion, right? So just even everyone now, participatory metaphors, I love that Teresita,
medicine women in Mexico, her Aztec granny said, Teresita, feel roots going out of your feet deep, deep, deep down into the earth. Let's all do that. And Teresita says, Grandmother, does this mean I can't be hurt? And her grandmother says, No, child, we all get hurt. It means we can't be overpowered. So let's root way down in order to rise to the occasion. You know, we'd spoken about, you know, radio as a
getting that now. Feel welcome.
Yeah, I hope that this is working. I mean, it keeps breaking up on me, but if you can hear me, well.
Yes.
Is that true? Could you hear me? Okay. Yeah, again.
Yep, can hear you, yeah.
Okay, it's good to be here. For so many reasons, you know, and the times we're in have gone escalated in over the years and even as we speak today. So, you know, I was going to even take a moment to humble myself to enter into this, what we were recognizing as a ceremony, like a great healing ceremony, and take time to give thanks for my life. You know, I see myself as one of the richest people in the world, you know, such as if you think about an Elon Musk or a Bill Gates, you know, they might have some kind of rich money, but for me, I'm one of the richest people in the world because I've been in Yosemite all my life, and the richness of connecting with nature through waterfalls, you know, through rivers, through climbing, looking at stars, you know, and now to help kids and to make sense of a life's journey, you know, through these experiences that you could get some kind of knowledge or hopefully we find the wisdom as we talk today to listen to the elders of the past and present, you know, our spiritual people. And you had sent me something from a Lakota elder, Fool's Crow, maybe I can read it so that we can kind of set the tone here for the work that other people have done to get us to this point to continue this, this great healing. So it says, "We are called hollow bones for our people and for anyone else we can help. And we are not supposed to seek the power for our personal use and honor." This is Fool's Crow, Lakota talking. "In order for us to use our power well, we must become a hollow bone. We must prepare ourselves to become a channel. Our channel must be clean before we can use our power well. We must be free from all resentments, guilt, shame, anger, self-pity, and fear. If these things are in us, we cannot be hollow bones. These things block us from our power. The cleaner we are, the more power we move. We must become a hollow bone so the Creator can use us to do what He wants to do with us. Wants us to do, excuse me. My Creator, remove from me today all resentment, anger, fear, guilt, and selfishness. Do not let my weaknesses stand in the way of my usefulness to you. Make me a hollow bone so your power can flow through me." You know, that's some powerful, beautiful human being talking, which from a spiritual foundation. And in our organization, To Help the Kids, I'm always trying to understand how we can have that spiritual foundation. And so to read what Fool Crows is saying there too, I had my own experience just recently, and I thought it was interesting that you sent this, because I was up in Tuolumne Meadows in the high country, and I walked up to a dome, the top of a dome, like I've done for most all my life. And when I got to the top, I took off my shoes and turned to the east where the sun was right on the horizon. As soon as I turned and put my hands towards that direction and I was looking out over the meadow and the river reflecting in the last light, I felt this jolt of energy come to me. And my interpretation at that moment was the Mother Earth saying, "Stay close to me." And I literally said, "Okay," you know, because there's no one around, so if it seemed crazy, nobody saw me. But that message comes to us every once in a while, and that's what I feel where we're at now, is to remember where our nurturing love connection comes from. It's from our Mother Earth. So this is what we've been bringing the kids up here for years, to get back in contact with the Earth, and to realize that everything we need has come from her, you know, and if we can bring this into our psyche now, we will get the power we need, like Fool's Crow is saying, to get rid of our judgment, our resentment, our guilt, and feel that power of love, you know. And I think that's what it's all about, because as humans, as a baby, we show up kind of helpless, and the main thing that keeps us alive is a nurturing love connection with our mother. So if we bring that into the context of being human on the earth now and think of the mother as a nurturing love connection that we all need, I think we'd stop acting out, because at some point we think to ourselves, how could we continue to do these mean-spirited, violent things to each other? You know, it's very interesting to think about the opportunity that's in front of us now when we awaken that DNA connection as indigenous people from the earth and remember our Mother Earth.
Yes. And again, as you read the hollow bone guiding, again, we just step in with expanding compassion.
Bombardment and grief, you know, may not be able to do that now again. So we do it for everyone. We do it for everyone.
And, you know, your work is so crucial and wonderful. And remember what we were speaking of again last night, that, you know, in talking to warmongers through the years, I can pretty much guide so that we arrive at the point of accord. The only solution to terrorism is a wonderful life for all children. Go, right, right. Yeah. So we're playing with that. And we want to, oops, we do have static, and we do have lines breaking up, but magic is a willingness to cooperate with everything. We just, we're working with it. We're working with it.
Don't bear with us, team. You know, and again, we knock on wood to call the tree spirits. So I did want to just bring up also a little bit of the perfection
of your chart. And, you know, we met, right. We're going to try something else. We're going to take a music break, and KPFA will call me on the phone. All right, here we go. We're going to give this a try. All right, we're trying this again. We're trying this again with stalwart board up and how we're going. All right, are you there, Ron?
I'm here.
Whoops. Oh, good. All right, let's keep going.
Yeah, well, this is part of it.
Let's keep going in and out.
Yeah, a lot of things want to keep us from doing these things.
Wait, apparently, but we dissolved that, and you particularly are really good at that. Oops, it's sounding a little odd again. I don't know why. We don't know why. These are mysteries. I'm checking everything. Yeah. Checking everything. Okay. So, you know, we gather, you know, to remain imaginatively engaged, especially this week. It's such a volatile time, the whole realm of Pluto and what Pluto represents, you know, death, rebirth, intensity. You know, and Pluto says things are volatile and explosive in direct proportion to the degree of their exclusion. So we here, you know, call upon all the traditions of, you know, of dancing with Pluto and dancing with demons. You always, when you meet demons in the underworld, you always ask them, you know, what is your story? But I just wanted to bring up parts of your chart, which are so beautiful. And that it may be you be that for all of us in the dream world, you know, when you're born
to a great degree. Karen Saunders and many cool people have that. I read it a lot on the air because it's wonderful. Children swinging beneath the shade of a huge oak
tree, the borrowed strengths of ancient traditions, the roots of all spiritual traditions in nature mysticism. That's you, right? That's really you.
Yeah. And that's the richness I was talking about, to be nurtured for so long in such a beautiful place and feel that connection and recognize that it's such an important aspect of being human so that we can continue to promote the next generations. And I think that's the exciting news channel we're on now, is to figure out, starting with ourselves, to keep that connection with the Mother Earth and bring that beautiful story that is inside of us and outside of us in that connection. So like what we say, you know.
Yeah,
Yeah, well, I was going to say, in a way, to invite all of our relatives into this talk, when we think about it out there, you know, we got whales, we got bears, we got eagles, we got mountain lions, you know, we got elephants. There's a whole relationship that we all have in connection. So that's what we're trying to bring to our kids in general, was to learn about these connections and feel so fulfilled, so much fulfillment, you know. And represent
go
that
down,
voice.
Go down, go deep. Mm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And our friend David Grimes went to Israel. He said he wasn't quite comfortable until he crossed barbed wire fences and tracked the sword river to the caves. Thank you.
in the spirit of trickster Uranus, nature's evolutionary trickster genius that just keeps saying, experiment, experiment, experiment. So that's what we're doing right here to see if we can get a clean feed that our prayers of everybody listening, you know, may waft into the backstage realm. It still sounds a little crackly, but well, I trust you, Kirsten, to guide us through these rapids. And I love part of Ron's chart. Your Jupiter, Ron, is a canoe having passed through bumpy rapids, finally reaches calm water. And we go, okay, much better so far. Okay, much better so far. That's good. Knock on wood for the tree spirits. Knock on wood for the tree spirits. You know, we're experimenting here. So, yeah, and I just wanted to bring in, you know, the qualities of you, Ron, even though it's crackly. Your moon at 24 Virgo is especially about the capacity to honor grief. And in the sky right now, Neptune is exactly opposite your moon. So you on behalf of all of us, have a pipeline into the collective dream world and the dream news. The news is a dream and also a nightmare, but we can participate metaphorically. So Neptune says to you, you know, your dedication is increasingly welcome in collective group mind. And we go, okay. And it's right next to your Mars at 29 Virgo, which is a man calmly cleaning the house in the midst of an earthquake. And we go, that's good. But you too, calm in emergencies, right?
Yeah, and I love how many times we're using the word calm. You know, calm is such an important part of our ability to keep our senses open, you know. And probably rock climbing all the years, you know, if you're in these tenuous situations, the best thing you can do is stay calm and think clearly and move forward by protecting yourself with the gear you have and so forth. And now, like I say, what I'm recognizing is to evoke this connection with the Mother Earth, you know, is such a big deal because life has been traveling. I like that there was the canoe into the calm waters, you know, because everything's been traveling so fast that I don't think we get enough time, or maybe we're forgetting or whatever, but that's what we're here to bring back, that opportunity to remember our loving Mother Earth. Like, really, this is something that's very powerful in myself, but how we can use our words, the weaver of context, my friend on the other end of the line here, to get it into our consciousness, our psyche, our heart, you know, and there's so much power in that connection. And that's in the lineage of our ancestors. We had that spiritual connection with the land, the earth, all human beings. It's in all of us. So the way forward and the way I see it when we're working with little kids is to help tune and orientate them into being human, which has to do with being made of the earth. And we use the language that flows in a universal understanding that there's really no debate here. You know, that'd be like trying to argue with the sun. You know, that's just the way it is. You know, we have a natural way of being. And that natural way of being is based on love, nurturing, and having that connection. So I'm really dedicated to this right now. It's simple. It may sound simple, and it is simple, but we have to come back down to earth and literally take your shoes off and stand on the earth and take time to feel every day, or take time to, in your own way, make some kind of gesture to the earth, offering to a tree, to, you know, getting conscious, our conscious back. Because, you know, we're in this kind of thing with artificial intelligence. You know, that's artificial intelligence. It could have a place. It could be a tool for us. But we need our natural intelligence to stay engaged at all times to understand where we've come from and where we're at and where we would like to end up. And like you said, we're thinking about the children, the future, the babies. And all this that's happening over there in Palestine and Israel, all this is on display for us over here, where I'm talking about swimming in the river, to think about our participation in that healing by being consciously connected to the people over there and sending those thoughts and prayers and those healings, and that we care. We need to care. It's about caring. We're caretakers. Human beings were put here to take care because the world didn't even need us, it doesn't look like. Like everything in this world seems to know what it's doing except the human being. You know, we're over here all confused because once we lack the love connection, we act out, you know, and I see this even with our brothers that are locked up as the juvenile hall kids. They always want something. It's because they want to feel connected and loved and appreciated, but it gets this distorted idea of what that might be, because you could have some materialism thing, which we enjoy, but it's not really going to replace the idea of being loved and feeling nurturing. And nature is the great healer. So for me, the message is to myself and all the people to remember the nature, feel the nature, and that's where our power is, because we are nature. If we can imagine the amount of power that it takes to turn the earth, we're connected to that power. Our heartbeat is connected to that power. The breath of life is connected to that power. So this is really, like, I like to joke around in a way, but it's a good news channel. And like Fulco was saying, we're channeling. We want to channel this into us, and it's within our ability. So to get the narrative back is to feel your way back to the connection with the Mother Earth. So it's crazy. You know, it's really funny because it is that simple. But simplicity is, we're missing that kind of thing now because we're flying around. And people come into Yosemite, they're flying around so fast they run over a lot of our bears. You know, but they're coming here because they want to find the connection, you know, so it's, that's why I'm saying the people could come here for 4 hours to Yosemite just to want to see a waterfall or a bear. And then here I've been given the position of being one of the richest people in the world to live within this beauty and try to, in the best of my ability, be a voice for it. So even to help with the narrative of the park, you know, for the people to come here and make that connection. And so there's so many good things to do. And there's, like you said, in times of dire beauty, we want to look at that beauty. We want to be inspired, you know, by the beauty to have an, like science says, every action has an opposite and equal reaction. So when we look at what's happening to our brothers and sisters over there in Palestine and Israel, what is the opposite and equal reaction to that? Healing, love. This is a time of great healing. There's no question about it. And if we're conscious about this way of healing through each breath we get, we can be doing our job and understand the power we have just to affect someone else around us in a good way, a kind way, right? I mean, that's how simple it all is. Once we understand that if we're showing respect, that travels. It's like a ripple, you know? So this is what we could, this could be our response in a way to be responsible for the actions that are happening in other parts of the world that aren't really at our doorstep, but it seems to be traveling all over the place. And, you know, and that's why we appreciate all the ceremonies that are going on throughout the world now. There's a lot of people in the indigenous realms in South America, Hawaii, that are doing a lot of ceremonies, you know. So they're even suggesting, you know, do your own in wherever you're at, you know. Get this collective, get this conscious connection. It's all, see, this is what the real world's like. This is another realm of the real world. You know, they got, we send emails, we got text messages, we got Instagram. That's all kind of an example of how powerful we are with ourselves to send a thought, to make a connection. So the narrative got kind of pulled away from us. We're not making connections with each other. We're not making connections with the earth enough. So to flip the script, we need to balance that back out to say, I'm going to take time every day when I drink that water or I eat my food and think, where did it come from? When I drive my car, where did it come from? You know? And this is what we're trying to, I'm trying to get my psyche, because I feel we could rewrite the educational system based on the reality of being a human being and your responsibility to take care of the earth. Our loyalty and commitment should be to the earth.
Yes, and I love, you know, I mean, here we are, Librans, along with Heather Cox Richardson, Libran, incarnational agents of Venus is our assignment. And what you say, Venus is art, beauty, kinship. And we say, you know, grief, artfully expressed, becomes a sacrament of kinship. You know, we are with you. So I'm going to read Amir Peter O'Loughlin's poem that he wrote on October 14th, the day of the eclipse, and my birthday, because it reminds us that small, what can we do? What can we, small acts of dedicated beauty, you know, are worthy experiments. And so he says, what I do in the war, because I cannot carry your dead child, I sweep the deck of my friend and fling the dry pine needles to the messenger breeze, and the strike of my broom down the steps to the sea is the shovel for digging the grave, and the birdsong is the keening of your family and clinging companions. Instead of joining you to claw the rubble in search of your buried mother, I will bring bread to my neighbor who will serve it to her children, and I chant your name in rhythm to the shouts and earth movers with the warm loaf in my hand and the autumn air gripping my chest. I will serve tea to this welcome company and offer a fragrant, poignant, impotent wish for peace and assalamu alaikum with each touch of the cup to silent lips while you grip your phone for news and prepare to sleep on dark roads upon carpets that once had homes. Nothing in me can help you know if your daughter is alive or dead or which of those is worse. So I will whisper Bishalom, Bishalom, with each step up this mountain from where my strength comes, and where my cries are left, and where the eagles loft and lift. You cannot bear witness to my sorrow for those I love whom I do not know, so I will ring the Japanese garden bell to reach all those unjustly taken away. I will listen to its resounding song, which ears hear for 10 slow breaths, but which trees hear forever. And I pledge to each of you who suffers now a place in its vibrating prayer. October 14th, and that's from our ally, Amir Peter O'Laughlin. Good medicine, you know, again, whatever we do, just adding the dedication to that, what can we do? What can we do? That's, I think, a beautiful offering and opening portals to invite in what's needed and the miracles that are needed.
That's another key word. The miracle, you know, a Shoshone elder, Corbin Harney, people might have heard of him. He was over by the Damata test site. He always protested that, but I was talking to him. He says, we need to work with the miracle of life. And he said that about 20 years ago. He's not with us now in that way, but I've been thinking about that, and that's so beautiful. And that the way he said that in the context of the conversation makes you realize to work with what we call the spirit world is very important, the consciousness of the trees, the consciousness of the water. You know, we have to get back to that relationship of connection with those powers of the spirit, of the land, air, and water, you know, and bring it back around so that we're collaborating together with the energy that's within all our trees still. Because I know they're struggling in our territory over here big time, you know. So this thing about recognizing what our abilities are as a human being and the acts of kindness and love is a profound part of being human, and we really don't want to underestimate that at this time, because sincerity, I felt like even in our ceremonies, when you're singing that song sincerely, when we talk to each other sincerely in those circles, it gives you the insight, and like you say, open these portals to say it's possible to heal anything, ourselves, the trees, the ozone. This is a whole other realm of our ability as humans. I feel this is my feeling, you know. And what I've experienced, when there's things you can't explain, and we want to get into that world where there's things we just can't explain, but we intuitively understand. And then we think about the gift of being ourselves. That's why I wanted to start this talk and just try to humble myself, because it's so humbling what we're looking at now in a world that has a lot of imbalances. It has a lot of anger and fear. All the things that Fool's Crow was saying we have to get rid of in our body, in our mind, in our spirit, is this anger, this guilt, this blame, whatever it all is, and clean ourselves up. And it's within the ability of all of us out there to do this. This is the power of a real, what I'd like to say, a spiritual revolution for evolution. You know, and Trudell pointed out too that a lot of times we can go protest and we might have to do that, like they did at Standing Rock. You know, those things have to happen, but on another level, we have to use our intelligence to get past that same way of thinking that's challenging. The way of thinking that got us into this won't be the same thinking as it was said to get us out. So we got to think in a whole nother capacity of who we are as human beings and the abilities we've been given through this divine creator to be able to see, hear, touch, taste, smell. What is the value? That's why I understand how rich I am. You know, I understand how rich I am, and that's a profound feeling to feel so rich because you can see these beautiful sights. You can go to that spring and get your water, you know, and these are the things we bring to our kids.
We're going to take a very brief but potent musical break in a moment here. It's my new favorite group, Otiken, really wild people from Siberia, on their song Genesis. And the words are so great, I'll read them, because you won't, you'll feel them but not heal them. Heal with nature. This is a great power. Nature will lift you up and get you back on your feet better than a shaman. Right. So as you hear this music, just work through, undulate. It's just powerfully compelling. So here we go with a short musical break from Otiken and Genesis.
Hey.
Everybody take a breath. That is so good. That is the group Otyken, O-T-Y-K-E-N. That's their song Genesis. The whole thing is fantastic. The words, but also the feeling and what we're talking about, you know, Ron, whatever we express artfully need not be literalized. It's the power of art in any community to take and dance with the demons so that they are contained and brewed and liberated. And we go, that music is so good and expressed, like, wow, everybody.
Yeah.
You know, that we know that tyranny feeds on conflict, right? So let us not feed tyranny. The hum of the nuclear power plant, the violence and crying. Crying is appropriate in beauty, but the the conflict, so if, when we get wise to ourselves that way, the images before us for us to work with in this week, now Friday, tomorrow, Mercury, mind, voice, hands, squares Pluto. All the more to put on that music and dance and cook this energy. And Mercury's image will be a person in deep gloom and despair. Unnoticed, a glowing circle of angels surrounds them. So to those, I love that image because when we're alone, we can be that person. Again, under so much pressure and so much grief and just unimaginable loss, like, oh. But when we gather, and here we are, let us gather now as the glowing circle of angels, and the listening to the demons. What is your story? I just remember these things that we keep with us. Palestinian man years ago saying, my olive groves that my father and my grandfather, tended, have just been bulldozed, and no one will listen to my story. I will blow myself up, right? And we go, oh, tell us your story. We will listen. And to those possessed by the cruelty of Hamas, tell us your story. We will listen. Release the hostages. Be granted the opportunity to tell story. How did this happen to you? And likewise, Israelis, all beings, tell us your story and we will listen. And may it be women. And may it be 1,001 nights, and may it be the voices of the peace activists, so many of whom have been killed or kidnapped, again, resonating back to truth and reconciliation. Saturday, the sun squares Pluto early in the day for America. It's again the art of dancing with demons, and this is just a little mythic news, our participatory opportunities. Sunday, Mercury enters Scorpio and trines Saturn, water to cool out the conflagration. Let's converse with water, invite water, honor water. I'll hand it back to you in a second, Ron. Followed by Monday the 23rd, the sun enters Scorpio, water, and trines Saturn. May we be schooled in our dedication to collective well-being as a miracle, that calm, wise leadership may prevail within and without. Water. You're on very good terms with water, Ron Kauk. You often send me recordings of water. Do you want to speak for water and cool out and the atmosphere that we want to cooperate with, of like, call it out as a miracle.
Yeah. Those are all our medicines. You know, that's what gives us life. And that's why they call themselves water protectors out there at Standing Rock, you know, to protect the water. But what back to that music, you know, you can feel that heart, that rhythm of the heart, you know, a lot of the drumming and over the ancestral history of music was about that heart. So what was coming to me through that music was that all of our hearts can connect with that rhythm. We get in harmony with that, harmonize our hearts, and then the Earth Mother has her heartbeat too. That's why taking time with your feet on the ground, you know, or learn to sing a song, you know, whatever, but get into that harmonious connection. Because it's so healing, you know, for the energy that comes into our body. And of course, with the water, you know, even if they've done some of their scientific ideas about that has memory, you can talk to that water, you know, you can sing or say a prayer to the water. And I think this is the things we want to get more open to in our own way, you know, at this time. When we get overwhelmed in our mind, you know, we need to go to our heart and feel. And get the feeling going with the connection with the earth, like what we're saying. But it's so beautiful to open up to those ladies from Siberia, whatever it is, and throughout the world, there's so many good people working on this healing. You know, we need to feel that connection, because I think that's where we're being tricked, is like they say, to sidetrack us or distract us. You know, this distraction has gotten to be too much, but it's so in our face now that we would want to respond to it in a good way, in a calm way, in an intelligent way. And I think the higher intelligence is truly in our heart. You know, that's where the rhythm of the earth exists, and the connection that we can have in that spiritual way, if you will, the healing way. And I think, again, if we were, as a climber, right, I got to read the cliffs, you know, and find a route to go get to the top. Mm. But now, after all those years of doing that, I'm looking for the line on the earth. Like, I feel like the earth is like a big climb to me. and I'm trying to, you know, set up these new climbs for the next generations to have a way. So if you think of that and you say, well, what can we do? Well, we have to feel good about ourselves. That was back to the angels around, like you were giving that description. We could be depression. A lot of our kids are challenged now with mental, physical, spiritual health, you know, because of all kinds of reasons, you know. So we're here to try to open the doors to the future by making sense, again, of what it means to be human in a natural way. Because the natural intelligence we have is what gives us the love in the first place. That's what we were created from, love. And the nature is a loving, you know, there's sincerity. The trees are really trees, and the bear is really a bear. And we followed all the instructions of that world to navigate being human. But once we lost connection to those natural laws, and the man-made laws kind of took us off into this thing where we can actually still believe it's reasonable to blow up stuff, you know. So that's not the future, is to keep blowing ourselves up. We want to build ourselves up in our relationship to our Mother Earth and each other, you know, through that sensitivity, through our senses, and get our senses back, because we really want to make sense of things. So to me, I'm really an advocate for common sense, what keeps us all alive, you know, because what we're really looking at now is survival. One of our elders had said that way back when somebody, a news guy or whatever, was asking about his religion, and he said, well, I don't know how to comment about the religion, really, but our ways are mostly based on survival. And you're like, whoa, that was a good one, because that's common sense. So if we're going to think about how we are going to survive, we really would want to get along, and we want to treat each other nicely, and we want to create circles of people that are willing to build those ideas around that kind of communication, where we care and advocate for a creative response, like that music group, or do art. Like they said, there's so many beautiful ways to express ourselves. We're here to express ourselves. And that's what we want to guide our kids to, is express yourself, feel supported in the uniqueness of yourself. And so there's so many good ways to respond to all this, and that's what we want to keep our mind and heart open to, is how can we take responsibility and the ability to respond to what's happening to the brothers and sisters. And it's been going on for a long time, but we don't want to see that continue.
Right. And what you've said in past conversations on air and not before that I saw live is, you said fear is our friend when you're climbing up a cliff face, right? And it's that balance, right? You don't want to grip too much or too little.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Health and well-being, you know. Yeah. That's it.
Well, from reality to guiding metaphor and back to, you know, actual molecules, you know, so I kept that, you know, since you've said that, you know, again, And I'll say it and then just invite you to say it as you would say it too, which is that when you're climbing up a cliff face, which Ron has done a lot of, you know, and you're facing death, right? I mean, you're facing Pluto. You used to do things without ropes and are famous for such things, right? And you said it's your friend, right? Mm-hmm. It sharpens your focus. Your breathing is important, you know, how you... And then what you said, you know, pattern tracking, you're seeing the path, you know, you're facing Pluto death, like, whoo, it focuses, and you're seeing the way up. Is that a fair way to say what you've been saying for a while?
Yeah, and it's interesting that there's that stage of life when you're 19 and you're going to live forever, and you want to challenge yourself to that type of thing, and that's back to our youngsters down in the cities signing up for gangs, you know, so I can relate to all this stuff. But there is a beauty in it all, is that for me in the climbing, there was no other place in the world I'd rather be than right there, right at that moment, completely committed and being so well trained and having a good calm mind to stay focused. If you were 800 feet up off the ground without a rope, but I'm really not an advocate for all that, like the hype that's gone into the extreme sports and all that. That was a personal thing that you didn't go take pictures of, whatever, but then that was only a part of it. I mean, we went to Pakistan and climbed, you know, big mountains over there. So it's all kind of relevant in your experience. But the main thing is, it was a commitment to challenge yourself to be in a responsible in an environment that could easily kill you, you know, if you didn't know how to make your passage. So all that type of learning and experience has put me in a position now where I'm really interested in the future, finding a road towards the future, and that's why it's come full circle into understanding that it was really all about respecting nature and the environment you were living in and understanding natural laws and then building your senses to have a sense of place and then feel that the greatest rewards of all that climbing was to be able to walk out in the meadow here and look up at those beautiful cliffs and whatever lighting was happening at the time and then go dive in the river and feel the refreshment of that and just think that that's harmony. There's a harmonization. And I think that's how we used to live with the earth. You know, we felt that intimate connection. So we didn't really have to go off and climb up these rocks 1,000 feet off the ground without a rope to feel anything. We were in that flow. And it's back to that reality that we want to get into in our communities and in our society, is to stay within the context of the balance of the Mother Earth and the way she provides for us and put value back into that. You know, that's my goal anyways, because I think there's so many realms of healing that need to take place, but one of the ways is to help our children learn what it means to be their unique self. You know, we support the authentic self, and that's what I think the gifts will come out in our children, what they came here for, because we all came here with something to share and contribute. But it's our job as adults to kind of, you know, set that road up for them to be on, protect them along the way.
Right, and again, the let's say we are humbled to invite in what can guide us and to form partnerships with what can guide us and nature and then the beautiful sky earth story, which is really nature and earth speaking to us, you know. And for now, for everybody, Saturn is stationing. Saturn is how we define things, how we dedicate, the vows that we take, and it also represents how we define leadership. And it's the part of us we all most tend to outsource leadership to incompetent sociopaths, not dedicated to collective well-being. And we were talking about this, which is no other species that we know of on this planet would outsource leadership to those incompetent and not dedicated to collective well-being. No other realm. And so as Saturn is stationing now, you know, to all of us, it says, you know, everyone define leadership, in-source Saturn authority, and wonder, what is my deepest dedication, right? The deepest dedication inwardly strengthens our outward signal, DDDD, so that opportunities for tangible doing good may open. So it's in to out.
Wow.
But you know, all the things that you've ever said have been so useful. You know, because you talked about, you know, when, as you transformed rock climbing from this macho conquest thing into kinship and mentoring and guiding the youth to go feel your connection to the rock, form a relation to the rock, and I took that, and it's like, yes, kiss the rock. I have little teeny rocks that I would aspire to practice, Ron Kauk behavior on, going, no, in kinship. Although I was so worried when I came to visit you. It's like, oh, God, I hope he doesn't make me climb a rock. Because for me, that's like, oh, I wouldn't be good at this. my early childhood experience of, almost falling off a horse. And then there's a part of me that just goes, oh, just let go and give up, right? Which I did, right? Yeah. I just tumbled over the horse's head. And it's like, no, Ron doesn't have that. He doesn't have let go and maybe die and give up. It's like, no, work with it. But what we did do, which was easy, and I want to bring this back to water, we listened to the water and the waterfall and the... And when I was lucky enough to visit Syria with Deborah Felmuth as a splendid denizen and guide in the oldest souk in the world, in Aleppo. It was the oldest continuous marketplace in the world until recently. but our guide took us to the very heart of the souk, and it was fantastic and huge. And Deborah said she could always find her way in the souk in Damascus, but she could always get lost in the souk in Aleppo, and she liked that. So we wended our way to the very heart, the very center of the souk. And our friends there, our Syrian friends, said this was the earliest mental health facility in the Middle East, 2,000 years ago. And it was simply, there was a spring there, and it was simply people listening to water.
Yep, there it is. That's exactly correct. And to bring that into our psyche now, our consciousness, to know that's where the source is in its profound depth of who we are. But we have to slow down enough to make that connection. That's why in this political world, I think that it's good to always remember to vote for yourself. Believe in yourself and vote for yourself. And when we're sharing this kind of information, and we can go build ourselves up, like you just said, by the water or by a tree, it's so much healing. And that's what that song was about, the great healing of nature. And the challenging part of it is, it's as simple as taking a breath. As simple as taking a breath. But like I say, we're moving at a fast clip, and it's tricking us. It's tricking us. We have to slow down on a daily basis and acknowledge where you are, who you are, and where you're going according to the natural way. And then if we can keep working in that and trust each other, those hearts will be harmonized in a way that will create a great kind of flow of love that will travel around the world, and use our imaginations, You could almost see people holding hands that would cover the whole world. How many people would like a hug? How many people would like to feel encouraged? And that's within our power. We call it our medicine. That's it. We all have medicine. We're all here to help each other. That's why we say sacred circle. We're in a sacred circle. And all these great teachings of the world and our ancestral lineages and all the different cultures, we need to arrive into one universal reality now, is that we are one family. And like Corbin Arnie had said, there's one air, one water, and one Mother Earth. And this is the good news channel. We need to channel this good news into us, because that is the story that's in us. We need to read the story inside ourselves. It's all in us, but we have to understand that. Quiet that mind down. Quiet the mind down, and nature will help guide you, And I'm so thankful to have the opportunity to visit with you today and just that I was standing on that dome by myself. I didn't expect anything more than another beautiful view. But when I trust myself and I use my hands towards whatever it is I use my hands toward, in this case it was the sun, my feet on the rock, and the Mother Earth said, stay close to me. And how does that happen, But that took years and years and years. So I'm so thankful to have years and years and years of opportunity to be the richest man in the world, to stand on that dome and feel that at that time as a great message. Not for me exactly, but for all of us to realize that's how much your Mother Earth cares about you. And if we can allow that to happen, the grief will come out. She will help us, and we will help her. Well, man, it's just so beautiful, and it takes a lot of humbling, But I'm at a point now, I'm here for the earth, for the people, for the future generations, because I've been, like I say, the richest person in the world to live in such a beautiful place and have the freedom to move in nature like I've had, and then to be with you and bring our language together that can ripple out there into other people's minds and hearts and say, we have a purpose here, And ultimately, it's to work together for the great healing, especially at this time. And that is so exciting, because that will fill us with the love, like the Fool Scroll was saying. The Creator will give us that what we need to do, and that's how we got here in the first place. You know, so we have that kind of intelligence that can come into us on a daily.
Yep. And and kinship through the land, as you say, you know, and our blessings that we want to waft into the memosphere, that they may, you know, metaphors are the incarnational garb whereby power enters the world, that it may, you know, so, you know, whatever is truly best for the land, everywhere, you know, may it come on down, and for a community that comes from stewardship, shared dedication to the land, we go, yeah. And grief, shared grief, may there be a commonality of through shared grief rather than separation. Amanda Gorman, our great young poetess, put this out. She said, "In all the horror, chaos, and devastation, it is children and families, Palestinian and Israeli alike, who bear the bloody burden of a violence they inherited but did not create. Remember, the majority of inhabitants in Gaza currently without food, water, safety, or electricity are children. Remember that Hamas, a terrorist organization, has strategically kidnapped, killed, and assaulted the powerless, countless families of children. The face of war, no matter the parties, is not old and wrinkled, but young, little, and weeping. As UNICEF Executive Director Catherine Russell says, in all wars, it is children who suffer first and suffer most. If you believe peace and safety is for every child everywhere, donate to UNICEF and relief efforts. Whatever our religion, politics, nation, or beliefs, we can stand on the side of children and the peace we owe them." And I do. it's a reactive thing to say, but I feel it's so crucial. You know, back in the 80s, you know, many people and Israeli intelligence people have said what has now been pretty much confirmed, which is that Mossad dragged the blind sheikh out of prison and funded Hamas. They did, as a foil to Arafat. And then it came alive, right? It's like the U.S. funding the Taliban and Osama bin Laden. It comes alive, and we go, oh, you know, in the fullness of time, and those of us not under immediate pressure, let us feel the betrayal, the common betrayal and the common grief by, you know, those to whom we've outsourced, you know, by sociopathic leaders who play these crazy games, you know, and the addiction to having an enemy, you know, Hamas needs the Mossad, Mossad needs Hamas, you know, and we go, let's go deeper underneath that. And that's just a fact. You can check it out. There's, you know, it's an acknowledged on the table fact going, like the U.S. funded the Taliban. And so that complicity going, I think it's important in the fullness of time to feel that and then to reach across the false divide and to go, oh, those grieving in Gaza and the West Bank is also, right, and those grieving in Israel, it is a common grief of being betrayed, by Bibi and being betrayed by Hamas. And out of that common grief of betrayal, let us find kinship, right? May that be one of our prayers and blessings that we waft out into the world.
Exactly. And we know we've been lied to, you know, and the manipulation. So you think about how many people are really running that show and how many people are the victims of that. So that's about back to what we're saying. Vote for yourself. Get ignite that spirit in you to be a helper, healer, mender. That's what we were told years ago by an elder. Said, we have to be helpers, healers, and menders. So we need to go into a whole new another realm of what it means to understand the world we're in and where our power exists to be that helper, healer, mender, to promote the future of that's based on nurturing love and connection, which we all showed up as babies. So we've been talking about babies and children. And they need our love and nurturing and connection, but we have to find it within ourselves now to create a bigger vision than to be continually lied to and follow along with it like we're going to vote our way out of it. You know, we do have to play that game, but the bigger vote is on ourselves now. It's on ourselves to get together in your communities, help each other out, and see the bigger picture, because the nature is not going along with any of this kind of behavior. And a lot of us are just, you know, good, regular people, just do your job, you know, and get your paycheck, whatever. I mean, I have compassion for that. I understand that. But what's coming at us is we need a greater vision in our communities to think about the children, as you pointed out earlier, that's our future. What we do, what decisions we make for them, which is based on the seven generations, you know, which makes a lot of sense. So again, if we can keep making sense of our ability to contribute to this world based on nurturing love and a connection and helping healing, mend yourself first, clean yourself up, that is a huge contribution. If we could all catch on to that, the big contribution we can make by just getting ourselves together, like be okay with yourself and then help another, you know, and it just goes on and on. So there's nothing but possibilities now, potential in the healing. But like our elders always tell us, you got to start with yourself. Start with yourself. Love yourself. You know, so there's just so much good to do. We have that. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're just on our way out. But yes, thank you, of course. But absolutely, it says, you know, for everybody, vision first, dedication to the desirable vision, and then how will follow that. It's like entertain and experiment with that possibility, you know, dedicate to the desirable vision, and then the how, the miraculous pathways whereby to implement it will open up. So
that's right. Never underestimate that. Yeah.
That's great. Thank you, Ron Kauk. His website is Sacred Rock, R-O-R-O-K dot, whoops, wait, I've got it here. You've got it right before you. SacredRock.org. There we go. thanks always to Kirsten Thomas. We are in cahoots. And may all, you know, again, waft blessing, liberating blessing out to all the cool waters to cool out the conflagration and experimentally be engaged in whatever we can do. Thank you, team. We'll reconvene next week. Thanks again, Ron. Thanks again, Kirsten.
Bear hugs. See you.
Okay. I feel them.